Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
The Book of Mormon, is it a book from God? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this topic is my colleague at MRM, Eric Johnson. Tad Callister, who is the presidency of the 70, gave a talk in the October 2011 General Conference titled, The Book of Mormon, a Book from God, with the subtitle, Together with the Bible, the Book of Mormon is an indispensable witness of the doctrines of Christ and His divinity. He starts off this talk by telling a story about how years ago my great-great-grandfather picked up a copy of the Book of Mormon for the first time. He opened it to the center and read a few pages. He then declared, quote, "That book was either written by God or the devil, and I'm going to find out who wrote it." He read it through twice in the next 10 days and then declared, "The devil could not have written it. It must be from God."
Well, Bill, that is a classic case of what we call the either-or fallacy, to say something is either written by God or the devil, because there are other possibilities. Maybe God or the devil didn't write it. Maybe it was written by somebody in upstate New York or a group of people. It could be a number of ways.
Maybe it was a 19th century novel.
Maybe it very well was.
What's interesting here is that he reads it through twice in the next 10 days and then declares the devil could not have written it.
How did he know?
How did he know that?
Absolutely.
I mean, what evidence did he actually go to or examine that would have supported that premise? All we know is that he read it and he felt it was true. And of course, we know in talking to many Latter-day Saints, the reason they believe the Book of Mormon is true is not because it has historical or archaeological support or anything like that, but because they feel it is true. And of course, that goes along with Moroni 10:4.
And then he goes on and says this, Bill, the next paragraph, and by the way, this is in the November 2011 Ensign magazine, page 74. He says, "That is the genius of the Book of Mormon. There is no middle ground. It is either the Word of God as professed, or it is a total fraud." Now, there I would say he's more accurate here because it either is true or it's not true. This book does not merely claim to be a moral treatise or a theological commentary or collection of insightful writings. It claims to be the Word of God. Every sentence, every verse, every page, he's saying, Bill, it's a historical book. Joseph Smith declared that an angel of God directed him to gold plates, which contain the writings of prophets in ancient America, and that he translated those plates by divine powers. If that story is true, then the Book of Mormon is Holy Scripture, just as it professes to be. If not, it is a sophisticated but nonetheless diabolical hoax.
I find it interesting that Tad Callister actually refers to the plates as being gold. If he had read the October issue of the Ensign magazine, he would have realized that they're trying to get away from that concept. And the October 2011 issue actually went out of its way to mention the plates as being only golden, that they were metal plates with a golden color.
And so, what's the significance of that, Bill?
Well, they know that the gold plates would be much too heavy for Joseph Smith to carry. So a lot of the apologists now, they don't even believe the plates were gold. If anything, they were an alloy made of gold and some other metal, probably copper. But, okay, maybe Tad Callister didn't get that memo. That's a whole nother issue.
But what he is saying here, Bill, is the book has to be historical. You cannot spiritualize it. You can't turn it into, I prayed about it, and regardless of the facts of whether or not it's historical, it's true for me. He is saying, I believe what he's saying here, and I agree with him. It either is a holy book of God, or it's not a holy book of God.
Well, that's what Joseph Smith claimed. And so I would say that his credibility as an alleged prophet depends on that statement being true.
And then he goes and he quotes C.S. Lewis, and I'm not sure out of Mere Christianity why he quotes this, but what C.S. Lewis said, either Jesus was and is the Son of God or else a madman or something worse, but let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Not sure why he brought that into a talk like this, except maybe to say either Jesus was who he said he was, or he's not.
Maybe or it could be another attempt at Mormons trying to make it sound like C.S. Lewis was a closet Mormon, which of course is not true.
He sure had nothing to say about the Book of Mormon here in that quote. But then he says this again right after that. Likewise, we must make a simple choice with the Book of Mormon. It is either of God or the devil. There is no other option. I would like every Mormon to read this. I would like every Mormon to understand that he or she should be studying the history of this book to see if it's really true. We have a lot of stuff on our website, mrm.org, that talks about the history of this, and we doubt the history of it. We don't believe that the Book of Mormon is a true book. We would say it's not of God. If what we're saying is true, what Ted Callister is basically saying in my mind is the Mormon Church is not true either.
Well, here's something that I find is disconcerting. He puts together this kind of test in order to support his premise. He says, ask yourself if the following scriptures from the Book of Mormon draw you closer to God or to the devil. And then he gives some citations out of the Book of Mormon, one of which is from 2 Nephi 32:3. Feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. The problem, of course, is that you have to already presuppose that the church that gave you the Book of Mormon is teaching the words of Christ. You have to already have a presupposition in mind, because what does this church really teach? See, that's the conflict here. We don't believe that a lot of the things that Mormon leaders have said Jesus said are really his words. We don't believe that things allegedly attributed to God the Father actually came out of the mouth of God the Father. So you can say definitely, feast upon the words of Christ. The question is, what are they defining to be the words of Christ? What does the LDS Church believe when it comes to the words of Christ? Now, of course, this man, his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, reading this, is not going to know by merely reading the Book of Mormon that there is a lot of other baggage that comes along with this book. I don't believe most Mormons really even believe every word that comes out of the Book of Mormon. I've talked to them and I've asked them if they believe certain passages, and of course they don't. I mean, if you're going to take every word in every page, okay, then let's also take Moroni 8:18. For I know that God is not a partial God, neither a changeable being, but he is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. That's in the Book of Mormon. Do Mormons really believe that God is not a partial God, neither a changeable being? He uses the word changeable here, unchangeable, I should say, in one of his arguments. But that is that's a word that has a broad understanding. If he was unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity, then he could not possibly have been a man, as Joseph Smith taught when he said, we've imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. So if a Mormon is going to believe every passage, every page, they have to embrace Moroni 8:18 as well.
He says on page 75, have you ever wondered why there are so many Christian churches in the world today? When they obtain their doctrines from essentially the same Bible, it is because they interpret the Bible differently. If they interpreted it the same, they would be the same church. Here we come up again with the straw man argument to say, well, you have to be united, and they'll look at the different Christian denominations and say, you guys are separate because you have different ideas on these peripheral issues. But I need to say this, Bill. This is so very important. How many different groups hold to the Book of Mormon that disagree with the Mormon Church? I mean, they have interpreted the Book of Mormon one way. There are fundamentalists in the state that we live in here that have interpreted another way, and there's people in Independence, Missouri, and places who have done they all believe it's Holy Scripture, but the LDS Church has interpreted it the way that they feel is the right way.
Here's the faulty reasoning, and I've heard many Latter-day Saints use it, just as Tad Callister has here. The problem is, it's not so much the reason for the many denominations is because there's something wrong with the Bible. It's because there's something wrong with people. Mm-hmm. It's not the Bible. It's people that have caused a lot of the differences of opinions, and no doubt about that. Why don't we go back? He gives this story towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about, some years ago, I attended one of our worship services in Toronto, Canada. A 14-year-old girl was the speaker. She said she had been discussing religion with one of her friends at school. Her friend said to her, "What religion do you belong to?" She replied, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or Mormons." Her friend replied, "I know that church, and I know it's not true. How do you know? Came the reply. Because, said her friend, I have researched it. Have you read the Book of Mormon? No, came the answer. I haven't. Then this sweet young girl responded, then you haven't researched my church, because I have read every page of the Book of Mormon, and I know it's true. How did this 14-year-old know that it was true?
She prayed about it.
Isn't that the common answer that we often hear? How do you know? Well, I prayed, and the Holy Ghost manifested its truthfulness to me by a sincere prayer.
After giving such a strong introduction to say this book is either true or not true, that's how he's going to conclude his talk. And then he says, the very last paragraph, I too have read every page of the Book of Mormon again and again, and I bear my solemn witness, like my great-great-grandfather, it is from God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. He gives nothing, Bill, to show that this book is historical, that it's accurate, that Joseph Smith really did receive it from an angel. Most of this is just built on a number of verses that he just throws in, mainly from the Book of Mormon, to say, I know it's true because I have prayed about it. And this is a subjective test that the Bible warns against.
Well, what's really sad is there were probably thousands and thousands of people listening to Tad Callister give this talk. And after telling about this 14-year-old girl who said merely because she read the Book of Mormon and she knows it's true, it doesn't matter what research anybody has ever done on the Mormon faith. Remember, she says that she dealt with researching the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It doesn't say specifically that she researched Mormonism. Well, you can come to the conclusion that the Mormon church is false without reading the Book of Mormon.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to this church that needs to be examined apart from the Book of Mormon. That's only one little slice of the pie. But for her to just dismiss out of hand what her friend said to her about research. And notice, they don't even mention what she actually brought up in that research.
If they even knew. Maybe the girl came up with that story that did not get the full story listed, but she became the hero, the heroine of this conference talk, I'm sure.
She was, and sadly, that's not a very good test. And what's, like I say, what's really unfortunate is there were probably thousands of people listening to Mr. Callister give this talk who, like you said, looked at this story of the 14-year-old girl and thought, yeah, that's the way to defend the faith, when really for most of us, that's not a good way to defend the faith at all.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864. Or